Good morning and welcome to worship. Special welcome to all of you joining us from home. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning with our confession. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in that promise, let us take a moment of silence for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, God gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. We praise you, O God, for this circle of light that marks our days of preparation for Christ's advent. As we light the candles on this wreath, kindle within us the fire of your Spirit, that we may be light shining in the darkness. Enlighten us with your grace that we may welcome others as you have welcomed us. Grant this through Christ our Lord, whose coming is certain and whose day draws near. Amen. I invite all those who are able to stand for this next hymn. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, give to all the people of the world knowledge of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The first lesson is from Malachi chapter 3. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old as in former years. The word of the Lord.
The first tree in the green wood, it was.
The second lesson is from Philippians chapter 1. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with you in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and the praise of God. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Tachonitis, and Lysanias ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The word of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. In his prologue, the gospel writer of Luke indicates that after careful investigation, he has set out to write an orderly account of the events that have taken place. We know, of course, that he is writing this good news, this gospel about the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the Messiah. And he addresses his gospel, this gospel writing, and its sequel, the book of Acts, to Theophilus, an unknown Christian, perhaps a person of social prominence, maybe even a Roman official. Or, since Theophilus literally means lover of God, perhaps this was written for future lovers of God. Perhaps it was intended for people like you and like me. Either way, Luke starts out in chapter 1 by placing this good news, this gospel account, at a specific historical point in time. His story begins in the temple, in the place where God was expected to be revealed. Luke writes, in the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. 3 chapters later, the gospel writer leaps ahead in time and again places the events that follow in a historical context, at a particular point in time, by creating a who's who list of prominent political and religious leaders of that time and place. If I were to do that today in our context, it would sound something like this. In the second year of Joe Biden's presidency and Kamala Harris's vice presidency, when Kate Brown was governor of Oregon and Lucy Vinnis was mayor of Eugene and Dominique Sarno mayor of Springfield, during the time Elizabeth Eaton was serving as bishop of the ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and Lori Larson Caesar, bishop of the Oregon Synod, the word of God came to ... Fill in the blank. Not to who one would expect. To be perfectly candid, a list today might include people like Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, maybe even Phil Knight. Extremely wealthy and influential people, or political powerhouses like the justices of the Supreme Court of the United States of America, people like that, important people, people that we must listen to. If I had named people like that as a way of setting the scene, certainly that would give you and future readers and hearers a sense of precisely when this thing took place, whatever this thing might be. But here's the remarkable thing, I think. Luke quickly tells us the word of God did not come through those voices. Not that it could have. It could have come through those voices. But rather, the word of God came through John, son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Sure, if we follow the story of John, we would learn that he was growing up as a PK, that is, a priestly kid. Luke had told us earlier that Zechariah belonged to the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron, the brother of Moses. And so his parents weren't exactly without pedigree. They were important in their community. They were well respected. But compared to the list of those whom Luke named, John was pretty much a nobody. Perhaps even voted by his rabbinic classmates as least likely to succeed. Or weirdest foodie of all time. And yet Luke tells us that the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah. And furthermore, that the word of God came to John not in the temple, but in the wilderness of all places. The wilderness. This was to fulfill what the prophet Isaiah had foretold from long, long ago, when he had announced that the day will come when there will be a prophetic voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Then every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh, not just some, but all flesh, shall see the salvation of God." At a time when the word of God could have come to political leaders like Tiberius, Pontius Pilate, Herod, Philip, Lysanias, or to religious leaders like Annas or Caiaphas, were left to ponder, why did the word of God come to John of all people? And why in the wilderness? Theologian Audrey West, a professor of New Testament, clarifies this by writing these words. In its original context, Isaiah 40, quoted in this passage in Luke 3, refers to the return from exile in Babylon. The physical road or the way of that journey is a rough one, requiring travel over a long distance and a difficult topography. The metaphorical road, she writes, is a challenge as well. The Israelites had been changed by the experience of exile, and now they were returning to a home that was also changed. Through Isaiah's prophecy, God promises to prepare for them, to prepare the journey for them. In other words, to smooth the way for their return to life in the promised land. End of quote. Now, while I'm fairly certain that none of us, or few at least, have had to endure a time of exile from our homeland, I would argue that in current times, this global pandemic has been our metaphorical time in the wilderness, if you will. The world as we once knew it has changed. And we have been changed by the experience that we've endured. Here at Central, we are just now beginning the road back in earnest, returning to some of our most cherished traditions, like this afternoon's lessons and carols for Advent. The tape has been removed from the pews. You're free to sit where you wish. We're still masked. things look and feel differently. Not just here, but in the world around us too. Needless to say, our way of doing and being church has definitely changed as a result of these past 20 months and counting. For starters, as I've said numerous times, we've lost so many beloved members and friends from Central, people who've died. Most recently, our sister in Christ, Helen Knebel. Others have moved away for jobs or to be closer to their extended family. Still others among us are facing serious health concerns, or many are challenged by the things that come with the aging process. And to be sure, every passing moment, every breath we take, inevitably leads us to change. Sometimes for the better, sometimes not so much so. But of this you can be sure. God's promises remain unchanged. The voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord," reverberates and echoes down through the ages. John's voice, "Repent, turn around, get your houses in order, for the day is surely coming." Yet the advent of Christ, the coming of Christ, is not merely a past or a future event. It is here, and it is now. Therefore, we cling to our faith that proclaims Christ has come, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. God continues to speak to us, sometimes through the least likely, the unexpected, everyday, run-of-the-mill voices of both young and old and every age in between. Voices of male and female and non-binary, of straight and gay and queer, of varied colors, dark and light, all of whom are precious in God's sight. And through voices and hearts and minds and dreams of ordinary people like you and like me, God remains with us as God promises through the wilderness of our lives. Those places that are often scary and dangerous, or challenging and disconcerting. Those times when we feel isolated and alone. God meets us in the most unexpected of places, and God puts people in our paths to walk with us, especially during those times of fear and darkness, when we're overwhelmed by grief and loss. God comes to us with signs that reveal God's glory in simple and ordinary ways. Like the joy you receive when you get a letter in the mail out of the blue, or a phone call from somebody you haven't heard from in some time. A smile from a stranger, or a fist bump from a friend. Or those times when you take a walk in nature and you feel that gentle breeze on your cheek. Or you notice signs of new life bursting forth through the concrete pathway. The voice and presence of God comes to us from flickering candles in the dark and from the sound of blended voices singing carols. God's glory comes to us again and again and again in the gathered community, in the peace we share, in the prayers we offer, in the praises we sing, in the bread and wine we eat and drink. Here in this sanctuary, God comes to us. But God also comes to us at home via live stream or via Zoom. God is with us. And so in closing today, let me remind you again as the Apostle Paul wrote, "For I too am convinced that the one who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And I am convinced that the promised gifts of God's grace and God's mercy and God's forgiveness and God's unconditional love that has been poured out for us and is poured out to others through us, I'm convinced that that will continue to break in all around us through the most unlikely voices and the most unexpected places until all flesh shall see the glory of God. Let it be so. Amen."
With the whole church, let us confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. In this season of watching and waiting, let us pray for all people and places that yearn for God's presence. God, who sends messengers into the world to proclaim the day of your coming, encourage our bishops, pastors, deacons, and lay preachers that they be confident in their preaching so that their words and our lives witness to your grace. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, who sends your Spirit to all living creatures that are endangered, provide them with shelter and care, and bring us into right relationship with the earth that you create and call good. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, who sends leaders to our nations, cities, schools, and businesses to work on behalf of those who have lost parents, spouses, and loved ones, immigrants, the imprisoned, those living in poverty, and all who are oppressed, empower them in their commitments to justice and reconciliation. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, who sends prophets to speak difficult truths, even when they are poorly received, embolden those who ask hard questions and challenge accepted ways. Instill in youth and elders alike a passion for pointing to Jesus in all things. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, who sends your servants to care for those who suffer, use our ministries and our lives to reach out with compassion to those who are hungry, oppressed, lonely, ill, all those suffering in mind, body, or spirit. Today, we pray especially for Shannon Allison, Lou Berg, Terry Tapp, Linnea Embleton, Bob and Caroline Evans, Arlene Fors, Alona Johnson, Keith Jurasevich, Russell Callanan, Joy Lathrop, Karen Scott, Shirley Watson, and Genevieve Youngquist. Grant them healing and wholeness. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we remember your saints who have gone before us, both those recently passed and those passed long ago, but who are remaining in us, especially during these holidays. Confident that your work will be completed, we live in faith until the day of your coming. Comfort all of us now in this present time who grieve. Remember especially the family and friends of Helen Knebel and Ted Scherer, who passed away recently. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of new life, who comes among us in this place, in the places we least expect, receive these prayers and those in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Oh.
Let us pray. God of our waiting and watching, we offer the gifts of our hearts and our lives to the service of all your people. Prepare the way before us as we meet you in this simple meal. Through Christ Jesus, our pathway and our peace. Amen.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, Almighty and ever-living God. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes again to judge the world in righteousness. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Christ Jesus. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God, and they are given freely to us, the people of God. Again, I invite you to come forward and kneel or stand at the altar railing. If you have trouble navigating stairs, you may sit in the front pews, and we will come to you. But come, for all is now ready, and this is Christ's meal. It is Christ who bids you come. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Most High God, you have come among us at this table by the Spirit's power. Form us to be bearers of your word, sharers of the gift and mercy of grace with all people we encounter. Through Jesus Christ, our host and our guest. Amen. And before you receive the benediction, let me just highlight on the back page of your bulletin, there is a complete list of our Advent and Christmas services, our schedule for the coming weeks. But also I want to highlight that today at 4:30 is our traditional Advent lessons and carols, and invite you to come to that service at 4:30 p.m. this afternoon. And finally, for those who may be wondering, Helen Knievel's service will be held in probably early January. That date is yet to be determined. There will be a private burial for her this week for just her family and immediate family members. So please keep the Knievel family in your prayers and as we entrust her to God's good care. And now stand for the benediction. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. The Lord grant you mercy and grace and send you out on our way, rejoicing and proclaiming the good news that Jesus Christ has come and is here among us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Go in peace. Christ is near. Thanks be to God.